Well, I thought about it and I said, well, we could just record a little quick podcasty kind of a thing, or we could just do what we normally do, except with just a few fewer guests. Look, Koala
as in
Plays
none, as in zero.
Zero guests. Koala Plays was right there. Hey, Koala. That's very interesting. So, you know, I thought it'd be kind of fun to just sort of do a show sort of off the cuff, and why not? I mean, it's our show. We can do what we want.
It's been really interesting listening to people talk about live audio versus live video and streaming and all that kind of thing and what it's done for their business and all that stuff. So, hey, Deb.
Hey, Deb. So, yeah, let's just do an intro because that's what we do.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
In fact, you know what I might do? I might even open
I never know what you might do. That's
a great point.
That's the dumbest thing about this job.
You know what I might do is I might throw the join us up there as well. So why not? But yeah, I want to talk a little bit about things like our very interesting friends at Clubhouse, the House of the Clubs, Twitter, whatever it's called. Don't cross the streams.
Oh, Jane.
Hi, Jane. Well, you know, as long as it's comfy. So yeah, I made cbrogan.me/joinus. Hi, Linda.
Cool.
I was going to take a nap, says Rob.
I stumbled into a Twitter space for the first time.
How'd you do that? What's that about?
Over the weekend. So it's like Clubhouse. It's like rooms where people are talking, but unlike Clubhouse, it doesn't organize them. It's like somebody starts a room and it would be like Chris Brogan's space or whatever. They call them spaces, not rooms. Mm. And so you don't know what they're talking about. It does tell you who else is in there, but that's all you get. And then you just like stumble around and see what all is going on in there. That's about
it. So you can't set a topic yet or anything like that?
I mean, you could set a topic, but you can't tell people what it is like in the title of the room yet.
Oh, that's shenanigans.
So, well, that's the thing, actually. I was like, huh, so here's this guy that I follow and who follows me, but I have no idea what he even does. And he's in New Zealand. So I'm just going to like stumble in here and figure out what they're talking about. And it was nice for about 10 minutes. It was really cool. It was just people talking about where they are in the world and why they even wanted to try this dumb thing and all that stuff. And then a marketer came in and then it was marketing, and they totally took it over. Yeah. And then, so then it changed, but much like Clubhouse from what I understand.
Oh, it's shenanigans. So, you know, I'm already grumpy because Clubhouse doesn't have anything for Android. So I can't even just go in and look around just to say anything I want to say about it. But I think that the idea that what they're calling social audio is somehow going to eclipse podcasting, well, it's not. I mean, it's just the way live streaming isn't. Live streaming that's set up to feel and look like a show works a little bit better than live streaming where you just turn it on and stare at the world until a couple of faces show up. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever watched other people's live streams and it's just like...
Yeah. So I got that impression that social audio and Clubhouse or anywhere else, that it could be like that. Mm-hmm. That if you have no idea who's coming, what you're going to talk about or what their background is, it can be pretty dicey. Like it could very much be like that person you wish you hadn't started a conversation with at the party.
And I keep seeing people say great things about it. I keep hearing people say, this is amazing. I'm so thrilled. Stubble Judge is watching us on Twitch. I think there's cool opportunity, especially if it'll surface some of the people who don't necessarily have a big experience. Jane saying that it's like, you know, people connecting. It's sort of like Sunday morning show with panelists and all that. I get that.
It could be, but cool. They all like know what they're showing up for and have been vetted in some way. This is very much like if you were to go into like Safeway and go, who wants to say things about whatever? And right. They just come over.
Go up and down the aisles.
Yeah. Profess things.
Does anyone here have some opinions right. In the tuna aisle? Jane says that the groups that she's in are all planned and you know
some
where
of
your
them
panels
do.
Are. So is it, do people talk over each other a whole lot or is it like, you know, one person talks at a time? How's that work?
No, I mean, it all depends, but we could get somebody who's been, I've primarily listened in Clubhouse. I never felt like motivated to speak. The Twitter Spaces experience was the first time I actually felt like I could say something. And it's not unlike how you in your email newsletter will say, what are you drinking? And you do that on purpose because then people feel like they have something they can talk about.
That's right.
On Clubhouse, I went into a room where black people were talking about what Chadwick Boseman had meant to them, and you better believe I didn't say shit. So I am here to learn and listen, and I have never been like, oh, I have a few thoughts I'd like to share. So those are the rooms I go into on Clubhouse because I'm there to learn.
Got it. And hi, listen. Fred Faulkner the Fourth.
So Twitter Space was the first time. Come talk with us, Fred. We're talking
yeah,
about.
Come see Brogan on Mises. Join us,
yeah,
baby.
So there is somebody that moderates the Clubhouse room, and they decide who can talk and who cannot, and whatever.
And then the other problem is, and it is so funny. I follow a lot of YouTube people, and I've been looking at what the big guys are doing in YouTube as well. Because like people like Joe Rogan, for instance, his show is like 2 and 3 hours long. So a lot of shows now have a separate clips channel. So they have like JRE clips. And even people like, hey, Troy, people like, why am I blanking on his name? Tim Ferriss. Put a clips version of his shows together and all that sort of a thing. And the reason I don't is just because I'm lazy. That's the only reason I don't. But, you know, we talk about it every now and again. We talk about like kind of pulling the best backpack show clips out. But
there's so many.
Right.
That's the thing. So
think about that, though. So if you start thinking about a backpack show clip show, then I go back to things like clubhouses. Is somebody going to sit around waiting for the good part? I don't know. Let's ask Fred Faulkner the Fourth. Hey, Fred, what do you think? Have you been clubhousing?
I've been trying to clubhouse, but I only have it on my iPad. And, you know, there's this thing called a work day that I struggle to kind of find time to take moments out to listen. And I get a lot of notifications of people doing stuff. But honestly, it's if I'm not, that's the challenge I have. It's just so asynchronous, right? To your point, I think, Chris, you're saying just recently, right before I jumped on, you know, who's going to wait around for the good stuff, but you miss all the good stuff if you're not there. So, right. And I don't know how they're going to do the allowing. I've seen some rooms where like this room's being recorded because you have to have some of those legal disclaimers. You can't record people without them knowing about it. And I don't know how they're going to deal with all that. I don't know how Twitter and Spaces is going to deal with all that, but I see a venue. I see an avenue of how live podcasting becomes a very different world because, you know, normally when you do podcasts now, if you have to maybe do a dial in or something else, like I think the interactivity could be very cool from that perspective. But the asynchronous part I struggle with, because if you're not there, then you're not there. And there's some amazing content that's going on. I think as Carrie even mentioned, if you want to go in and learn, there's some amazing rooms. And then there's a lot of, I think, rooms that just quite frankly are a lot of people trying to sound smart that probably not you're representing exactly everything they can or should.
I wonder what made them feel confident and happy using that model. I wonder what made them pick like, you know, here's now when I'm ready to start sounding smart.
I don't know. I mean, I think the exclusivity of it all a little bit, right? Because there's not the masses. So you have a smaller volume of audience to talk to. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, if you could be a first mover advantage, then it doesn't matter what you're on before. You're a first mover here. So you can be the new person. Although I saw, what was it? I saw David Armano posted something where it was like someone put in their Clubhouse bio, like Clubhouse expert. And it's like, oh, it's 2007 all over again when you're a Twitter expert. You know, so
I love
another backpack in the evening.
Sure. Evening backpacks.
All day long. So Jane says the most irritating thing is you can't message someone through Clubhouse during the session. You have to message them on Twitter or Instagram if they have their profile filled out. That's actually one thing that happened on Clubhouse early on. I popped into a room and it was, I want to say it was Damon Wayans and somebody else. And he's like, I just want to shoot you a photo real quick. And the guy's like, yeah, you can't do that. He's like, what? He said, doesn't do that. And they were just like so disenchanted with it. And I thought that's a problem.
There's so many interesting plays going on. Mark Cuban all of a sudden says, I've got one of these, you know, and I bet on Mark Cuban. I don't bet against Mark Cuban when he has an idea, but he basically also has a social audio app. But we had this before. We had Seismic, however many years ago, with Loic Lemur. We've had audio, I don't know, chirps or bleeps or bloops. They had something like this, and I just feel like it came and went. So I wonder why now. Any insight onto that, Fred Faulkner the Fourth?
You know, I didn't even hear about Clubhouse until about like feels like 3 weeks ago, you know, and it kind of blew up a little bit more in December, January seemed to be a big thing. I don't know the why. And now I think everything comes down to who's the founder versus, you know, I think that plays a big thing because then you get the celebrity, whether it's tech celebrity, human celebrity, entertainment celebrity jumping on board. I you know, I don't know the why now, outside of, I think the people who started it, and I don't know the two gentlemen off the top of my head, but those and then the backers behind it decided this was the next play. It's not that audio hasn't been done before. I mean, Jeremiah Yeoing has that list. It's like 40 something, 70 something other audio, you know, social audio companies are out there. I mean, the list is growing day by day. Facebook's going to do one. I mean, I'm just waiting for LinkedIn to announce theirs, because why not? from that perspective,
Jeremiah invited me to Clubhouse actually in August, and
he's been on it. I didn't even know it existed in August.
Oh, he's been on it since probably like day one. But like, yeah, right. And I was super appreciative. But unlike some of the people who've gone on to like make a splash or whatever, make a good impression, build their following there, I just strictly snuck in to listen and then like peaced out quietly.
Definitely me at the moment. I'm definitely listening, doing a lot of peace out. I mean, I haven't gone to the rooms yet where I kind of would maybe get that uncomfortable feeling of learning something new, like you were mentioning, you know, mm-hmm. you were saying earlier, Carrie, but I will do that at some point. I think that is a benefit, because, you know, there's the stage, there's the speakers, there's the stage, and then there's the everyone else in the audience type of thing.
But we don't have any, like, I feel like we need a Clubhouse super fan, though, to come in here and talk about why Chris needs to be less grumpy.
I almost don't, but I'd rather continue to postulate why it's bad, but no, I don't think
it's bad.
I don't think it's bad either. I think it's going to be a very interesting dynamic of what's going to move the needle, right? It's another channel, right? Marketers now have to think about how can they make a space. I mean, we've certainly been talking about it at our company, and I've been pushing, you know, our teams be like, do we want to try and jump on? Do I want to put some of my executives in there and let's talk about our narrative? And is this a space where we can be a little more ahead of the curve than behind the curve? Is it worth that time and energy investment? You got Brian Fanzo, and he's like all in, you know, over there doing
that's
stuff.
Brian, he's all in on Brian.
Snap.
Right.
Fanzo is all in on every little ViewMaster that comes along.
Well, I just think he's very enthusiastic to try new things like that. And so he jumps in with both feet and just runs with it. And it works for him.
Absolutely.
And it is working for him, because he's definitely said, like, so I saw someone ask the question, like, are you getting clients out of it? And he's like, yeah. Right. So if he's going to put his time and energy, that the benefit is he's getting work. Right. Because that's what he's there to do. So
all of Chris's friends are there pontificating all day, night and weekends. So, right. People are in there. Sometimes they've said as much as 15 hours a day. And I'm like, oh, my God. Call somebody.
I can't say anything bad about that. I mean, when Google Plus came out, I looked at Google Plus and I said, oh, my gosh, this is the thing. And
I wanted Google Plus to actually work
so
bad.
Many hours in that thing. I mean, like I wrote a book about it.
You could have this discussion in there. But, you know, I have to say that as soon as a marketer came into Twitter Spaces and the conversation became about Twitter Spaces versus Clubhouse and stuff, it is instantly boring. Like before that, we were talking about it's breakfast in New Zealand. What are you going to have? Where are you? You're at the beach. What's that like? Like, it was so much more fun when we weren't on Twitter Spaces talking about Twitter Spaces.
Which is why we've got this backpack show.
I think it's very interesting. I think it is going to be interesting to see how people can position Spaces, Clubhouse, your own show with your own domain and your own kind of branding. It goes into the big audio video dynamic of what is more going to be that engaging thing. I think the one thing I do like about Clubhouse is that you can have 500 or 1,000 or 400,000 people in the room and it still feels intimate to a degree, right? Because you have the people on the stage, everyone's going to ask questions, your moderator does their job right, you can make it feel intimate and keep the conversation going. If it's just going to be, but you still have to have smart people talking about smart things, it can't not, if it's just rambling, you can have, and let's talk about breakfast, and that might be engaging for some.
Hey, that's interesting.
You're not going to get that for 30 minutes, you know?
No.
So there is still some of that. I mean, you guys put on this show because you have smart people talking about smart things and you're educating a population, right? The backpackers. So that's, but this is your thing. Like, this is your medium and you could do it and you're repurposing it now, right? You got the podcast now, you have the video. If you do the clips show, you know, and put that out as a channel. I mean, there's ways to make, you know, get people engaged in that type of stuff. It's the cut once, right? Measure once, cut all the time, three different ways.
So Jane is saying there are clicks. So if you're in the loser group that none of the moderators or speakers are following, you feel bad.
Or they make you follow the speakers to even get considered to be put up on stage. I've seen that tactic too, which I'm like,
that is such rank bull crap.
Right. Follow. You have to follow the owners of the club of the room or the whatever the clubhouse to get even considered to be brought up on stage. I'm like,
right, Rick. Second breakfast. Totally. There's like so much to talk about there, but yeah. Anytime you tell somebody you can't sit with us unless you do this thing, it makes me really cringy.
The minute there's a cool kids table, it's the table that I would never want to be hanging out at anyway. But I think that going back to what does this do for us? What does social audio do for us? I think there's benefits. I think when people do come back to it, we're losing Fred a little bit at a time. Oh, we lost Fred. Terrible. Oh, no. See you, Fred. I think that social, yes, I think that social audio has a benefit. I think there's also the whole concept of a lot of people are making the joke or also the assertion that once we all get back to business as usual, once we can all go to conferences again, will this survive going back to conferences and whatnot? Mm. And I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, this could be the best hallway chat in the world at a conference, right? Like, this could be the best hallway chat in the world at a conference, or it could be not the same as hanging out at a conference.
It's so hard to say. All I can tell you is that I've been hosting podcasts since 2005, and a lot of them are interview podcasts, and there's so much chaff that I edit out that never makes it to the finished product. And so sitting through a Clubhouse talk can be like that.
Right. Which is, you know, Jane's asking the question, don't you think audio only is going backwards?
Oh, look, he's here. Yay.
Oh, well, that's what I said. Did you see my face? That was my face when I saw Mr. Tom Webster.
What is up?
We have to put Fred back too.
We do have to grab Fred back. Tom Webster, you are a man who tracks a lot of this for Edison Research. You do the Infinite Dial Report. You do all kinds of information on keeping your ear on the digital ears of the world. I am not a Clubhouse person because I'm an Android person and I've been resisting this. I'm a grumpy old man who does not want to get on a new lawn. What's your insight? What's your thought? What's our perception? And are we going backwards or forwards?
I think Clubhouse fills that role, that deep market need for virtual events that are terrible.
There was a gap in the marketplace and they came right in, didn't they?
It's like if you just want virtual events, randoms,
average virtual events, but there really was, I think, room at the very bottom for Clubhouse to slide in with truly terrible virtual events. And I'm here for that. Honestly, I think there's too much quality in the world.
Before you came, I was saying it's a little like that. It's like you go into Safeway with a microphone and just be like, who wants to come talk about stuff? Like whatever stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there are use cases for Clubhouse. I don't ultimately, that's not the horse I'm betting on. You know, look, if Elon Musk shows up or, you know, Ted McGinley some night out of retirement and, you know, wants to talk to a bunch of people, that's pretty awesome. I'm down with that. But, you know, you have both been doing interviews for a while. It's really hard to do. Moderating a room is really, really hard to do. And it's just not a great experience. And the other thing that, you know, there's a lot of people spending a lot of time on it right now. Where's that time coming from? And that time, I suspect, is like coming from family time or something. Like it's a weird gap of time, right? Like I have times when I can listen to podcasts, and that's because, you know, I go for a run at 8 a.m. That's when I can listen to a podcast. If somebody I want to hear on Clubhouse is on at 3:30 in the afternoon, I'm not going to hear them. And there's also, you know, there's no social graph associated with Clubhouse all the time. At all. And like all of the things I want Clubhouse to do, Discord is already doing. And I also think it's not, you know, it's not a small thing that they're iPhone only. And that has changed the culture, that has directed the culture of that app and that service, because Android users on average are different dogs than iPhone users. And they're different demographically, they're different psychographically. And they've made a cultural decision at Clubhouse that, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of not down with, but, you know, ultimately, even though I enjoy it, I actually opened up a social room just to friends a short time ago. I enjoy that kind of thing because I miss people. But, you know, ultimately, I think Clubhouse is going to reward people who have a very dubious skill, and that is the skill to push themselves to the front of a room.
Interesting.
Lots of people had that skill for a long time.
They do. It works for those people, but it's not kind of where I want to be.
So Tom, let me ask you this. So you mentioned the kind of the conference, the virtual conferences or the conferences that are there. So What about the thought leaders that don't get the opportunity to get to the stage at a conference for whatever reason? There's only so many slots. You're not in the in crowd. You're not in the circuit. Like, is this an opportunity for them to kind of set that, be that, get that opportunity for them to kind of showcase their thought leadership and be out there and to a larger audience to maybe get that elevation? Or is it truly just like, it's the click, it's you're in the in crowd. You're always going to be at that spot. Like, is there that opportunity there? With Clubhouse?
I don't, right now in Clubhouse, no. I mean, I'm excited about Twitter Spaces for that reason, because you can actually build a following on the strength of your ideas, right? You can build a following on Twitter on the strength of your ideas. That is a thing that is possible. It's not possible on Clubhouse. There's no way to do that because nothing exists on Clubhouse other than the exact time that you're on it. You know,
people have started recording it though, right? Not as a mechanism of Clubhouse itself, but people have like started releasing podcasts after, and they get permission to record it using some other thing during, and all of that. I've heard about that happening.
That's happening. And I think that's, that also, I think, satisfies the burgeoning market for terrible podcasts.
Right. That's what I was saying. So much ends up on the cutting room floor when you do an interview show until you're like really well practiced at reining people in. It's a lot of chaff to get through. Jane says, what's Twitter Spaces? It's like Clubhouse on Twitter, but with less functionality. Yep. About the size of it.
And then any minute now, we have the next one coming in from Mark Cuban. So there's that. I was way back on Fred saying the phrase thought leaders and trying to bite a hole through my tongue.
Be nice to Fred.
Not into the old thought leader thing, but because, you know, one of the things I've seen from the periphery of Clubhouse, again, being a grumpy old Android user, what I see from the periphery is I see a whole bunch of people suddenly really eagerly talking about Bitcoin and NFT. I see a lot of people talking about these other kind of like gee whiz moments in marketing and whatnot. And what I least see, I mean, when we launched the Backpack Show, we had one edict, which was just like, let's make a show that's not about our marketing turdhead friends, period. That's it. That's all we really wanted. Can we shine the light on somebody else for a minute? And so that's why I don't have thought leaders, because I deplore thought leaders. And I also, I guess I'll make it into the form of a question for anybody who wants that anymore. And what do we want? I was just coaching somebody on, you know, their business that they're getting ready to launch, because he had 27 years at a huge company and he was getting ready to fly his own flag. And it was a little too vague. And I said, you know, I don't know that anyone's going to deal with vague over the next year or so. I think if they're going to pull their wallet out, it's going to be for real specificity. So just anyone's thought on that.
Well, I think it's, as I said, I think it's going to be hard to do that on Clubhouse because you have none of the social graph tools available to you. So, you know, while yes, it does give you an opportunity to get on a virtual stage, that stage is almost guaranteed to be empty unless you're already bringing a following with you, or you do some of the dubious things on Clubhouse that people do to get followers. And, you know, there is a lot of, the public, there'd be dragons in the public rooms. I mean, a lot of those public rooms, you know, the millionaires breakfasts and all that. If you're in that room, you're in somebody's funnel, like make no mistake. And I just don't have time for that.
It's a little bit disappointing to see the change that happened so quickly when it kind of blew up like pretty recently, and all of a sudden all the marketers are in there, and immediately it was like, oh, let's do a thing where we talk about how this can be used for monetization and blah 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 blah, like immediately. And I just thought, this is why everyone hates us, because like we come in and start having conversations.
Marketers
like
ruin everything, Carrie.
Totally. That's the thing. We didn't have to. We could have just listened for a little while, but instead of just busting the place down and immediately being like, let's talk about marketing, I was like,
but then you look at what Jane just said, and this is where I think there's some hope. Jane runs a PR company that helps the beauty industry. And one of the things that she's saying is that when I'm in these groups with beauty editors saying, here's exactly what I need, you know, here's how to pitch me on that, like they're giving her direct feedback in, you know, input for her business. So, I mean,
yeah, but she's listening. See the difference there? She's right. Not like, hey, guess what? I'm going to talk about me.
It's exactly the point. Me. It's just not trying to get to the front. Just like Dr. Smith Club, CJ says, I just like sitting back and listening. But my gosh, is, you know, it's a crazy experience to imagine so many people hoping for yet another place to move their lips.
It makes me a little sad. But Twitter Spaces is the same from what I've seen, and I've only been in a couple now, and the first time, like I said, started out like a regular sort of, like, it's nothing you would subscribe to as a podcast, right? It was like a show about nothing, just a quick conversation with people you've never met. And it's like, this is a novelty. Then a marketer comes in and now suddenly it's, what about this for marketing? And what about social audio for marketing? And blah, 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 blah. And people were like glazing over. If it's possible to hear someone glaze over, like I heard it. So I feel like that's happening times a thousand right now in Clubhouse.
I'm having fun on the platform. I mean, I do pop in. I usually use it by starting my own social room. So only people who I follow or follow me can join it. And I'll give it a goofy name, like, you know, is Corduroy still groovy? And, you know, and that part is fun. But I wouldn't personally try to build something there. I don't exactly know how you would build something there.
By contrast, we had a guest on the other day from Lately.ai, Kate something Chernus, Kate Bradley Chernus.
That sounds right. Yep.
Sounds good. She runs Lately.ai. And what Lately does is it takes, like, for instance, your entire Twitter stream, sucks it into an AI fan, and then can spit out a pretty reasonably good facsimile of what you would tweet. And this makes me chilled, and it grumpies me even harder than Clubhouse does. But you know what? If I were, like, Fred was talking about how he's trying to convince the senior team, like, maybe they should consider, or should they consider going over and spending some time in Clubhouse? And in my head is no, 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 no. But even though, you know, Kate was talking about this robot armada she's built, that thing is, the numbers were ridiculous. Like, the engagement numbers were like almost 10,000% uptick or whatever. So when you sick your robots on humanity, they're like,
yeah, it works.
Love you, robot. And so I don't know.
Because you can't tweet 25,000 times. They can.
I don't have a question as much as I just want to, you know, hear your thought on that.
Room on every topic. That's funny.
What millionaires look for in a wife?
I don't even know.
Oh,
I'm not going to speculate at this point.
There is a topic for everything in Clubhouse for sure. And I, like you, Tom, I peruse, and when I have time, if I've got nothing else going on, I'll throw it on and find something or see what's going on from the people that I at least follow. And some of the topics are interesting. And I agree that there are marketers talking about, there are people promoting their business. There's definitely some of that. But then again, like, also look at it from the perspective, like, this is, it's free insights. Like, people are willing to talk about their stuff, and someone's going to, if you're not getting value, you peace out and you leave. But if people are getting value out of what they're listening to, they're going to stick around. They're going to listen to it. And I agree, Tom, like, you have to have a good moderator. You got to have good interview questions. It's a lot of the shaft carry. Absolutely, for sure. But I, you know, I've been in a few where it's like, what I thought I would listen to an hour conversation of an interview, like, maybe, maybe not, but it was engaging enough about the topic of social audio. And I was interested in what it was. And it was some smart people in the room. And yeah, I'm going to listen to that. But there's definitely, you know, 90% of the stuff I scroll through, I'm like, no, 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 it's not of interest to me. Someone will be there, though, at some point in time, and they'll be like, yes, I want to listen to you, Chris Brogan, talk about XYZ because I like Chris Brogan. It could be about cats or breakfast or something else, but I know Chris, therefore I'm going to, or I know of Chris, therefore I'm going to jump in.
They show up to watch Chris do nothing at all. So,
hey guys, I got to jump, but thanks for letting me come on.
Thanks, Fred. All right,
take care, guys.
I'm showing for people who are watching, who are listening to the audio podcast and wondering, I'm showing the video scene in the movie Real Genius, where there's a room full of tape recorders and eventually the teacher isn't there and the tape recorder's talking to the tape recorder. That's what I thought of when I listened to the AI stuff, is that, you know, oh, robots in a room talking to robots.
If you don't know what a tape recorder is, ask your parents.
Shut up. She made sense to me, Kate Bradley Chernus, in a way that I don't want to admit. So I don't know. I'm just curious, Tom, where's the room for art? And, you know, is there something, should we be doing even a little something with this thing, or should we just shut up and leave it in the corner somewhere and ignore it until it vanishes like it should?
You're so grumpy. No, don't answer that.
So when you say, should we be doing something with it, I guess it depends on who the we is. Like, you know, if, should we marketers go in and market it on up? I don't know. I don't think it's a, I think it's a low resolution transfer of information environment. Right. But it's also like, you know, I was thinking about this week when Rush Limbaugh passed away, and regardless of what you think about Rush Limbaugh, the opportunity to build a career like he had is very limited today. It's very hard to get those reps. It's very, very hard to get better at that. And to me, you know, Clubhouse as a way to get better at that, both through observation and practice, I think, you know, maybe that's where the personalities and the great interviewers of tomorrow will come from. So I would never discourage someone from spending time on it. I think, you know, at some point I'm going to start my how to 10 divide your business room. I'm going to open that every night and teach people how to 10 divide their businesses because the 10X ones didn't work.
So is social audio going to have a part in the infinite dial now?
It will, but I don't consider Clubhouse social audio, not yet. Like I said, I think it still rewards people who can push their way to the front of the room and build an audience. It's still, I think, the way that its predominant use case right now, I think, is still kind of one to many. That said, I have wonderful small conversations with people. But again, I go back to Discord. Discord is already doing all of these wonderful things with all of this metadata associated with it. And you can build a social graph. And like, that's where I would want to build a thing right now, as opposed to trying to build something on Clubhouse with no social proof, with no metadata, again, with no mark that you were even there as soon as you turn off your mic.
It's an interesting premise because even for this show, I launched a Discord for this show and it was fart in church. It was like, no one wants to be there. And absolutely, Carrie. The thought I had when I did it was I got there because my son, my 15-year-old son, Harold, lives in Discord. And I see him use it and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And so I was instantly there for it. And so I guess it's just a matter of this opportunity to, if you could see the tech in use for something more than a Gamer Boy platform, you might kind of get it faster. And you're right that it's a better platform. But isn't that always the thing? Like Howard Stern was why everyone decided to get XM Sirius, that kind of a thing. Is we still haven't had that yet for something like this. I'm curious to know your thought on that. And then we'll introduce Michelle Pridgen into the story.
Well, I'm going to go roast some vegetables, so I'm going to check out.
You should go roast some vegetables.
Thanks for
say bad
me on
things
the
about them.
Thanks
These
for
vegetables
on.
Are so fat. Oh, thank you, Tom Webster. Catch you later.
So what I love about Clubhouse is kind of like what just happened in a way. Like the one thing I actually do love about it, there was a museum installation years ago, and I have to look up what museum it was, but there's like a red phone, and every once in a while it rings, and somebody in the museum picks up the phone, and it's Yoko Ono on the other line, like on the line with them. She just calls when she feels like it and talks to whoever's there. And for me, Clubhouse is like that. So you get these crazy serendipitous things like Tom Webster, right? Like the world's leading expert on audio and research about podcasts and any kind of audio content, like stumbles along into our conversation about streaming. It's like the person I would want to talk to about it.
And also pretty, you know, pretty good Yoko Ono surrogate.
I just mean it's like serendipitous.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle, speaking of serendipity, how are you? How's everything going? Staying vertical, I hope.
Oh, yes. I'm on the up and up. So
good.
Just saw you get the notification. I thought, hey, I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so I wanted to come say hi.
You seem to be very busy.
Well, here's a scoop. Chris doesn't like Clubhouse, even though he doesn't use it. He can't.
I can't get on it either. I'm not an Apple user. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm left out. Which, you know, I'm okay with.
They'll get there. They'll get
there. I mean, every platform has to find its legs and serve its core users, right? And evolve, otherwise they die.
It's just funny, though. I've heard people say that podcasts are not their medium of choice for content to consume because it takes too long. You could write an article and I could skim it in 2 minutes and have all the information that I'd get out of the 30-minute podcast. Very different experience. That's what they choose. So there's like big swaths of people that would never sit still for like one interesting thing that somebody might say in an hour, you know what I mean? And then like a whole bunch of stuff you don't like or care about.
Well, I think there's room for a lot of different variants in communication because what someone would prefer to hear auditory or a visual like this, what we're doing right now, we would be more engaged with the information. It might stick in our noodle better if we experience it visually versus auditory or reading, because, you know, like you said, people are busy or they have different focus. I just need a snippet of information and they move on. So I really think there's room for a lovely rainbow of communication streams.
I think if people love it, they should absolutely do it. I'm just saying I'm not going to like build a whole business plan on it and invest 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
One person told me they're in there 15 hours a day.
Oh.
And when they were like, it's doing great things for my business, but it was like building the Instagram following, you know? And I'm like, huh, I don't know.
Where's the line when it becomes, I'm having fun learning how to create versus I'm slogging just to do it to put my head above sand and so I can be viewed, you know?
And I just, I'm having the hardest time in the world just working through the concept of, you know, the return on this one. Like, it just feels a little rough. Kate Colgan says, the possibility of who might drop in keeps my AirPods handy. I can see that, though. I mean,
yeah,
Chuck Palahniuk showed up from, you know, the guy who wrote Fight Club and all that. I would love to be there for that one. Or, you know, any day Stephen King feels like chatting or whatever. A bunch of my author people that I would like. There's a lot of other people I would live my whole life never having heard in there.
Well, those maybe are the rooms I'd go into and leave, though. Like, I would just listen, like, very quietly.
Well, maybe the commonality would be everybody would love to be a bird on someone's shoulder that they're interested in and view from that perspective what the person they are into sees. So maybe that connects them to their other reality that they can't experience otherwise. You know, like then behind the scenes.
Right. You're not wrong. But then I think that there's just so many other medium or media to do that with. I mean, StreamYard. I mean, I really tried my damnedest to get my man Sir Mix-a-Lot to make his own show and launch it because I would hang out and watch him talk to other people and talk to his bands and stuff like that. That'd be ridiculous. I don't know that I'd want to listen to it on Clubhouse. I don't want to hear him, you know, 9 feet away from his phone as he walks around his office, but I would watch him talk about it. So I think it's a, I think there's some opportunities.
Now you're just being fussy. Some people do like to listen as opposed to look.
Well, sure. So
I didn't want to do video till you made me.
Michelle, who would earn your time that way? Who would you sit still for that long? Us excluded, you know, because we get that.
Well, yeah. Actually, you're going to laugh. And there's no self-promotion just because I've experienced it for the last couple of months. It would be John Saddington. We have.
That's major sucking up, Michelle.
No, it's not, because I've seen him literally take someone who is stuck and they can't see past their view and just hack away at their perspective and the light going on at this end of maybe a 20-minute conversation. So I've personally witnessed the transformation capability he has. So I would watch him on anything, and that's not sucking up. But to me, that's powerful.
It is, though. It is sucking up. But I'm not taking anything away from you. I think it's adorable.
John said it is lovely. I think also, I don't know, maybe that's the thing. Maybe the whole idea about clips that we talked about at the beginning, and maybe it's a good way to wrap the show too. The whole concept of this experience where in which you can get this vast amount of information, and maybe the only part that was useful was Tom coming in and saying no, and then leaving. maybe that's what happened.
He didn't say entirely no. He just said don't build a whole business there, like it's a platform that's going to last because the social graph isn't there and it's not necessarily going to be worth the effort. But if you just want somewhere fun to hang out and talk about corduroy and why it's groovy still.
See you, Kate. You know. You know, the last thing I want to say, and then we'll boot this show out, is that I think that wherever you're going to use, whichever platform you're going to use, the goal is always, can you expand your circle a little bit? Can you find some people that you otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to spend any time with? And can you show them a nice warm hello and make them feel like they're part of something? So we can always follow the immortal words of Rob Van Winkle. You know, any place where we can stop, collaborate, and listen is going to be a good place to put everybody together. And someday Clubhouse will invite me. And just like,
you shut up.
Do you remember the old days?
Get in there right now.
You would go and send your film away, and it'd have to be mailed back to you, and you'd be waiting for your photos in the mail, just lonely.
Did you take photos of Abraham Lincoln or something? You're still waiting.
And you would sing, "Someday my prince will come."